Hey friends, it's Misty Phillip here. Thank you for joining me for another episode of the By His Grace podcast. If you noticed, I did not put an episode out last Tuesday. That is because the previous week, I unexpectedly had my large toenail removed. Now, it was a lot more painful than I thought, and it really took me down for a couple of days. But no worries, I am back on my feet, and I am here to give you an amazing episode today. We are going to talk to my friend Joelle Malm about slowing down and when we are angry or worried. You're in for a treat with this episode. But first, I wanted to give a shout out to my listeners. Y'all are the reason that the By His Grace podcast exists. And so I love to hear from you. If you have not left me a rating and a review on iTunes, I would so appreciate your feedback. Really helps me to develop this podcast, or reach out to me on social media and let me know what you want to hear. Now, I do want to give a special shout out to a group of listeners in the country of Paraguay. I have no idea who in Paraguay is listening, but you're listening, and apparently I'm topping the charts there again. So I just want to give a big shout out to y'all. Thank you so much for leaving me encouraging reviews on iTunes and reaching out on social media, sharing these episodes. It is really a blessing. I want to read a review that I received back in June. It says, "Real Conversations. Misty invites her guests and listeners into a safe space for real conversations about faith and life. The topics covered are diverse yet grounded in truth. She is a champion of grace." Y'all, I love this review. That is my hope, to create a space that people can be real about the struggles of life, but also be real about what God has done in their life, because y'all, His grace is so amazing. And I know my episode last week, I sounded a little somber. The Lord's really been working on some things in me, and talking about persecution is not an easy topic. And especially when I see all of the things that are happening in our world today, but that just drives me to prayer, and was so grateful that Andrew closed that episode in prayer. Thought that was really good. So if you haven't had a chance to listen to that, go back and listen to my episode with Andrew Croft on Christian persecution. But like I said, today I have a special treat for you. Joelle Malm is going to join us. Joelle just wrote the book, Love Slows Down. He is also a pastor and a fellow podcast host. And we're going to talk about anger. So as a young mom, when I was homeschooling a house full of boys and caring for a special needs son and ill parents, y'all, I want to be honest with you. I struggled with anger. I wasn't angry all the time. I was so blessed to be able to stay home with my boys, but there was so much that was out of my control. I would stuff the worry, the fear, and the frustration that came along with motherhood, living on a single income, and just juggling all the things. I was like a teapot. I would feel the rumblings begin to stir, then something would happen and I would blow. I was a bit of a control freak and had a difficult time handling not being in control. Yeah, not my finest moments. You know, anger manifests itself in many different ways and has a couple of underlying causes. So today I'm excited for Joelle to come and share his wisdom and his insight for us today on By His Grace. Welcome to another episode of the By His Grace podcast. I am excited to have Joelle Malm with me today. Did I say that right, Joelle?
You said it right, Joelle Malm. You got it.
Yeah, awesome. Well, I am so excited that you are here with me today, and we are going to dive into the topic of anger. And, that can manifest itself in so many different ways. And you've written a book called Love Slows Down that addresses this, and we're going to talk about that at the end of the podcast. But right now, I think I'd like to start off with, what are some of the different ways that anger can manifest itself?
Yeah. So anger shows up in all sorts of ways. And you can't get into anger without talking about anxiety and fear, because they're always connected. Anger always comes from a threat to one of three specific things: a threat to your sense of security, that could be financial, emotional, physical, a threat to your connection with others, that's the feeling of esteem or empowerment or acceptance or feeling validated, or your sense of control of a situation. And so we always, when we get angry, it's at something happening to us, it's as a result of something happening inside us, and we feel a threat to one of those three specific things. And so that really means there's a fear behind it. And it shows up in all sorts of ways. Anger just shows up in so many ways. I talk about in the book how there's the different kind, like one of my called the candy coated razor remark. I'll never forget. I had preached a series of sermons at this church, four series. And at the end, a lady came up to me, smiling lady, sweet lady, dressed up nice. And she said, "You know, I really am so grateful for this last message of this series, because you finally preached the Bible." And then she smiled and walked away. And I was like, whoa, that was smooth. Like, she was brutal, vicious, but it was so sweet in the way she said it. And we've all got people like that. The people that the candy coated razor remarks, you've got the other people that are the volcano. Sometimes it shows up like, well, I don't get angry except maybe every 5 or 6 years. But when they get angry, it's an explosion and it destroys, you know, like a small city. Then they feel great. All the pressure that's been built up they're great, but everybody around them is like, you know, freaking out. But they're like, "Hey, let's all go out for pizza." And the whole family's cowering in a corner. So there's these overt forms of it. Some people just shut down, "Well, I'm going to be the bigger person." And then they just shut down and don't talk to the person for 5 or 6 days or weeks. There's passive aggression. There's ganging up. Ganging up is one I see a lot with couples when I see couples get together. A spouse has had some issues, maybe with her husband, or a husband with her wife, and they start making kind of poking jokes at their spouse in front of the group of people. And yeah, but it's like all in fun, right? And I'm thinking in my mind, "Oh, that's not going to go well," and then they get home. But it's anger, and it's built up. And the crazy thing is, if you just press it down, sometimes anger shows up as wanting to check out. You just want to check out. And some people check out by substance abuse, or some people just binge watch TV. Again, those are signs of fear sometimes too. And sometimes it leads to indecision. It's crazy. We're just so connected. The way God made us, we're all the body, the soul, and the spirit, it's all connected. And so anger can show up in all sorts of weird ways in individuals, but it all comes back to those three things. It always comes back to feeling a threat to your security, your connection, or your control.
Yeah, that's really, really good. I am going to admit something here, unfortunately, but I'm a volcano. My husband calls me a teapot, because I'll be fine, I'll be fine, I'll be fine. And then I blow, and it's not pretty. Mm. And so, I got to work on that. Actually, when my kids were younger, we did a book with the boys, The Heart of Anger by Lou Prelio, I think is the book. Because I could being a homeschool mom and raising boys, getting angry was not probably a good thing. It didn't happen very often, but when it did, like you said, it was, but then I felt better. Yeah. So, but it's hard to understand sometimes where that comes from. But when you think about, for me, it was probably a control issue, because think about it. I had a house full of boys and a special needs son, and parents next door with brain tumors and losing babies in between. My life was out of control, but I wanted to control it. So
another interesting thing real quick, as we're talking about different forms of anger, we've found from a lot of studies that have been done on this kind of angle of looking at the world, that people in the connection corner who are sensitive to the connection thing, they don't actually like to use the word anger. So what they call their anger is frustration. So that's like my brother, he always jokes. He's like, "I don't get angry. I just get frustrated from time to time." I'm like, well, it's the same thing. You felt threatened in those three areas. So if you're listening right now and saying, "Well, I don't get angry, but my spouse does." Well, you probably do, because we all feel those threats. It's just how you respond to it. And you may feel more frustration than outright overt rage, but it's the same dynamic.
Yeah. So what can we do about it?
Well, this is what I've discovered. So in my own battle, you always talk, want to hear people's struggles, right? On the show here. My battle was, I was angry from, teens on. just struggled with it. One of my most embarrassing moments is one of my great mentors that had been a mentor for my entire life. The first time they met me, they had seen my band play at a sound check. And before the sound check, I got really mad at the sound and actually threw my drumsticks across the room. And they were like, well, that kid's got issues. And they ended up becoming lifelong mentors to me, but they love to bring that up. They're like, man, you had so much anger. And I did. I was so frustrated. It was a control thing for me. It's always a control. That's my sensitive spot. And as I've been navigating through this learning, I went and got a master's degree in counseling, a lot of it to kind of help me figure out my own issues. It's amazing how many people go get master's degree, very expensive way to figure out your own issues. But I went and got this master's in counseling, and I learned that, you know, anger is the secondary emotion. And I started seeing that really biblically, if you look at the biblical sequence, anger resulted from, as soon as we were separated from the source of those three needs, security, connection, and control, the first thing you see with Adam and Eve is fear. As soon as they were separated from the perfect security, connection, and control they had in God, they felt fear. And then immediately in Genesis 4, the following chapter, you see anger show up for the first time with Cain and Abel. And I started to realize that, you know, the sequence is always fear leads to anger. And the best thing that we can do when we're getting angry is recognize that anger isn't a sin. It's just a sign. And the question is, what are you going to do with the anger? Because it can be used for evil. That's what it says. Paul says, in your anger, do not sin, right? So what are you going to do with the anger? It's just a sign, and it's pointing to something in your life where you feel a threat to your security, connection, and control. And the reality is you're never going to get that need fulfilled anywhere but in Jesus Christ and the love of God. So what it actually can be is a sign pointing you to an area of your life that you haven't surrendered to God. So when my daughter, and I have a 5-year-old, trying to get her eat dinner sometimes is like, I lose it. I'm just like, eat the food. And I'm like, okay, Lord, clearly I'm looking for something here that I'm going to have to get from you, because my daughter can't give. And that's the thing about it. Our spouse can't give us the perfect love. Our kids can't give us the perfect love. Our good job can't give us the perfect love or security or connection or whatever. What we own, what we know, who we know, none of those things can bring fulfillment. And if we're looking to those things for it, it's always going to lead to anger and frustration. So what it is, it's simply a sign of an area where you need to surrender that area to God and say, okay, God, apparently I've picked it up again, trying to get it from somewhere that I'm not going to get it from, and recognize we were made from love, made for love, and called to return to his love. Because of Jesus, we have direct access to that.
That's beautiful. I love that. Our anger is a sign. That's so good. It was funny because when you said fear leads to anger, and I was going to say anger leads to hate and hate leads to the dark side. So I guess Yoda really wasn't wrong, right?
Well, a lot of truth in that little green guy. Yes.
That's right. Well, tell us about your book, Love Slows Down.
Yeah. So Love Slows Down is basically the story of kind of my journey of what I've learned about fear, anger, and balance. Because, you know, what happens is when we get afraid, we get angry. The first chapter is called Love Slows Down, Anger Speeds Up. And we've probably felt that when you start getting angry, you're just like, and so you start going faster and faster. And the book is about that. Like, how you first of all, how do you control the anger and manage it? But then how do you get to the deep root of it? A lot of the books I read were, and they're great books, about how to manage it in the moment. But there's something deeper there that it's speaking to you. And I meet a lot of people, especially right now in our world, that are walking around with just kind of a low-grade anger just sitting below the surface. And it's because there's a lot of fear around right now. And if we're going to get to the root of that deeper issue, like, there's one thing to, like, you know, hold your breath, step away from the situation, the practical things to calm the anger. But I think if anger really is something that's pointing us to an area of our life we need to surrender, there's a deep part of us that we need to address. And so I go into that, and I do it through stories I've learned through hiking in the outdoors and those lessons I've learned through that. And it's full of a lot of stories.
So. Yeah. Well, why don't you share one of those stories with us? I'd love to hear one of the stories.
Okay. Well, one of the stories that I think about a lot is we had this hike I'd wanted to do in this place called Kauai. It's an island in Hawaii. There's this beautiful tropical trail that goes along the coast there. And it's this beautiful paradise. And I'll never forget, I had this trip all planned, and we were going to do this 4-day hike out there. And we got this team together and we were ready to go. But about like 4 hours into this beautiful hike, I mean, it's paradise. It's like everything you dream of paradise. There's whales breaching in the Pacific Ocean with the sun rising, and there's waterfalls. And And it started to rain and it really messed up our hiking speed. And we got so behind that I realized the whole plan for the hike was shot. And I remember laying in my tent that night, just pouting. This is horrible. You know, blah, blah. And I was mad. I'm like, man, I wish it wouldn't have rained. God, why did you have to let it rain the one day, you know? And I had this realization. I'm like, pull yourself together, man. Like, you're in paradise. And I remember before we started the hike, we saw this thing. It's like, there's snow on the ground in 48 of the continental United States. And we're in paradise. It's 75 degrees. Yeah, it's raining a little bit. But I was like in Eden hiking. And sure, there was some rain. But what it was a reminder to me of is, man, you can always find something to get frustrated, angry, or be ungrateful about. And it just reminds me all the time. One of the things I say over and over again is that gratitude is the foundation for mental health. If you can't be grateful for what you've got, no matter how small or insignificant it seems, there's nothing to build on. You've got to start there. And when I had that change of perspective, I was like, who cares if it rains the whole time? I'm in paradise, right? I'm not at home huddled up next to a fire. It's beautiful outside. And that's one of the things that I just always go back to, that story, because I just like, man, it's so easy to ruin the most beautiful of moments with anger, frustration, that things just aren't exactly like I want them to be. And I think we all are prone to that on some level.
Yeah. So for me, like, the holidays are a big deal to me. So I'll set the table and do all these things. And then my kids will come in and like grab paper cups. And so that's not a big deal. But like, when I'm trying to set the perfect, you know, and I just had to let go, especially as my oldest son is married. You know, he's not always going to come home for Christmas or Thanksgiving or holidays and all of those things. And so I just had to learn, like, I'm going to be miserable if I don't just let this go. Yeah. So now I'm just like, y'all want to do paper plates? We'll do paper plates. I don't care. You don't want to wash dishes? Like, you know, just gotta, sometimes we just have to let go of our perfect, right? Yeah. To be at peace. And that's so much better. You mentioned about, you know, the time that we're living in, and there's a lot of fear, just uncertainty and craziness, I mean, just going on. And so if you were going to encourage someone besides being grateful, what would the other thing that you would tell them to practice right now to help them in this time?
Well, it's funny because we've now covered two of the three key things. So the front half of the book is kind of identifying the problem. The last half of the book is what do we do about it? And the beautiful thing is there's this ancient path the Lord has given us, and it's worked for centuries and it still works today. Nothing has changed. Whereas our problems are more complex, maybe, but the answers are just as simple as they've ever been. And there's three things. The first one is this, what you just said, you've got to let it go. And I talk about letting it go through forgiveness. You've got to let go of the negative things that people are doing, harming you. You've got to just release that and just choose to forgive. I also think you've got to let go of one of the things that's really hard, and I've worked with a lot of people with this, is you've got to let go of some of the sentimentality of the way things used to be. King Solomon says that. Don't ask why were the former days better than today, for it's not from wisdom that you ask that. And that's sometimes we're like, well, I've let go of the negative, but we keep hearkening back to this.
The good old days.
And remember when, and what happens is our mind, we have this thing in psychology called rosy retrospection, where you tend to look back and you filter out all the bad stuff. And all you remember is the good things. Oh, it was so great when my little kids were this. And you're like, yeah, but there were diapers and all, you know, all the bad things get filtered out. You remember all the good things. And what ends up happening is we become very discontent with the way it was today. And that's when we start saying things like, kids these days, you know. And so we've got to just let that go. And we've got to embrace where we are now and realize that the hurts have to let go. And you also have to let go of the sentimentality. The second thing is you've got to find time for solitude. And solitude, I talk in the book about the importance of meditation on scripture. Hiding the word of God in your heart, because that there's nothing like having that weapon to pull out when your mind is filled with worry, anxiety, and you just remind yourself, no, you know, quote Bible verses yourself. And I use one a lot of times. You will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, from Isaiah. I love that one. Yeah, so there's this element of solitude. And in the book, I talk about how I kind of came up with my own definition for solitude. Solitude is, I call it mental stillness. Because the reality is, if you're a parent and you're caring for your child, you're probably not going to get much solitude. Those little kids, they follow you everywhere. And there's just certain seasons of life where it's really pretty close to impossible to get just total solitude. Ideally, you want to take some time and get away, but it's just sometimes it's hard to do that. But you know, you can find mental stillness right in the middle of any situation by focusing on the Lord's goodness and through prayer. And so I talk about the disciplines of meditation and meditating on scripture, which is just your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And contemplation, which is this idea that if the Spirit of God that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he will give life to your mortal body. He's actually living inside of you. So the direction and the guidance you need, a lot of times you've just got to stop thinking about it and you've got to do what I call turning it over to your spirit. The Spirit of God is inside of you. He wants to guide you in all truth. And right. But if you keep picking it back up and thinking about, wow, and looking at it from all these angles, and it's good to think about the problems, but there comes a point where you've just got to say, God, I'm going to set this aside and I'm going to trust that you're going to guide me and I'm going to know what to do. You know, I was talking to some parents recently. What do? Do we send our kids back to school? Do we not? And I said, there's no right or wrong answer. It depends on your situation and the Lord knows your situation better than even you do. So right. Turn it over to him. So there's the element of solitude. And then the final one is, this is so important, is walk with others. You've got to be in a community with other believers, which has been super challenging through COVID because we want to be wise and we want to be safe. But we have got to be in regular community with others. We are not made to walk this journey alone. We are called to be with others. And one of the interesting studies I talk about in the book is this guy named Sean Acor. He's a researcher from Harvard. And he talks about how one of the most, like what causes people over and over in studies that they show to, what causes people to survive and under stress is actually their social engagement. Which is interesting because he says most people, when things get stressful and overwhelming, they pull away from, the first thing to go is small group or social engagement. And they say, well, we just don't have time for that. And he says, the number one predictor of success, of thriving under stress, is your engagement with others. And I think that just fits perfectly with what the body of Christ is about. And what happens is sometimes you have troubles in your marriage and I see people back away from church or getting in their small group, or you have troubles with your kids or things get so busy or you get afraid and you're like, I just pull away from the community, and it's the worst possible thing you could do. That is the time you need to press into the community, because we really are, this sounds so cliche, but we're really stronger together. I mean, Jesus wasn't joking when he said that. My desire is that they be one as I and the Father are one. And so those are the three elements, the letting it go through forgiveness and letting go of the good things and the bad things, solitude, and then the idea of community.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I was thinking as you were talking about solitude, if Jesus had to go away and pray and be alone with the Father, how much more do we need to have that solitude? And I think all of these things, letting go, forgiveness, having meditating on the word so that we have that sword like you talked about, and then community, because Hebrews tells us not to forsake the assembly of believers, even more so as we see the day drawing near. So good stuff. So Joel, when does your book come out?
It's available now.
It is available now.
Oh, yeah. Well, anywhere you are.
We will put the links to your book and to your website in the show notes so everybody can find you. Is there a place that you hang out on social media if they'd like to follow you?
Yeah, you can add me on Facebook. I got rid of my Facebook official page, so you can just add me as a friend on Facebook. I've also got, it's facebook.com/Joel Malm. I'm on Instagram. I'm on YouTube. Actually, got a bunch of videos on YouTube. And then I've got a regular a Monday encouragement email I send out. You can subscribe to that by going to joelmalm.com, joelmalm.com. And you can see it's a regular weekly little encouragement, super short 400-word thing I send out.
Oh, one more thing though. You do have a podcast that you do with your dad. How cool is that? Like when we first met you, my husband and I thought that is the coolest thing. So let's leave the listeners by telling us about your podcast.
Yeah. So I had an exceptional father and I'm just, it's amazing how amazing my father was. And I was actually on an interview the other day and I was like, I told the guy, I was like, yeah, I do a podcast with my dad where I interview him about the things he did right. And he goes, what, did you have like 2 episodes? I'm like, no, we have like 50. I was like, my dad was a stellar example. He's probably the guy that's most like Jesus that I know on this planet. And so what I do in the show is, and I didn't realize how novel of a concept it was until I went to you guys at the Spark Podcast Conference and people asked what it's about. And I told people, and they're like, oh, that's a unique idea. And I just talked to him about, Dad, remember this situation when I was a kid and this happened and what I saw you model for me in that. And sometimes we talk about stuff you could have done a little bit better, but most of the time I'm like, that's what I learned from you. And it's super fun just talking to him about it because he's in his 60s now. And sometimes he looks back, he goes, I didn't realize I did that well. So we just talk about stories from life and then what we learned. And my dad, again, he's a wealth of biblical knowledge. So he'll bring out biblical principles that are just unbelievable. This is what I tell people, even if nobody listens, I love recording these podcasts because one of these days I want my daughter to listen to my dad and I talking for hours on end about truths in the Bible that I've learned from him. So I love listening. And fortunately, some people like to listen in on the podcast too, but I would do it even if nobody listened, but we'd love to have you listen though.
Yeah, that's amazing. So why don't you tell them the name of the podcast?
Yeah, it's just called The Malm Podcast, M-A-L-M Podcast. Yeah, and it's got a bright little yellow emblem on there. So if you pull that up, it's there and yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I've really enjoyed our conversation today. And y'all go check out Love Slows Down and go follow Joel and check out his podcast with his dad. Thank you for joining me today on By His Grace. I hope you've enjoyed listening and are encouraged by our guest today. I would love for you to visit my blog, mistyphillip.com, for more encouragement. You can find me on social media as Misty Phillip, and I would love to connect with you there.